thank you. I hope you've been having fun for the last 3.5 days. I sure have. There's never too much music, only too little. And you know, I've said this before, but sleep is for sissies. So, one of the thrills of running a blues record label for 45 years is when I guess you'd say, discover and bring forward new talent that hasn't been heard on a national basis before. And when I watch artists grow and blossom and become what I imagine they could be, and sometimes even more. So tonight, we're going to hear from three of the younger generation of blues artists who are carving the sound of blues for the future, for today and tomorrow. And then we're going to perhaps have some people play together who don't normally play together and see what kind of fireworks ensue. So, I think they want some fireworks. So to begin the evening, all the way from Tampa, Florida, this young man's Alligator Records debut, Don't Call No Ambulance, came out now a couple years ago, and he's just preparing his next album. All the way from Tampa, Florida, Selwyn Birchwood and the Selwyn Birchwood Band.
Y'all hanging on, like seven strangles. Change guitars. We got Mr. Huff Wright on the bass, everybody else. wants you to know who's playing for you. Back here on the drums, we got Mr. Courtney Gurley. Big love on the drums. And over here on the baritone saxophone, we got Mr. Reggie Oliver, everybody. Turn on your rhythm. Well, we'll do this one for you. It's on our record. It's called Hoodoo Stew. I hope you enjoy, man. Some slide blues for you.
Thank you.
Sharon Virtual. Sharon Virtual Band. Reggie Oliver, that's right. Orton Gurley. Sharon Virtual. You know, it used to be that I would have to crawl around the little sleazy bars all over the south and west side of Chicago to find artists. Actually, those are great bars on the south and west side of Chicago. Wonderful places to find artists. But these days, the world has made it a lot easier for me. There's an organization based in Memphis, but worldwide, called the Blues Foundation. And amongst the many excellent things the Blues Foundation does, besides running a terrific charity for artists who, artists or their families who are in trouble with health things or financially, is they run an event called the International Blues Challenge. Some of you, I think, have attended, right? And this happens every January, and they get clubs all up and down Beale Street in Memphis, and blues societies from all over the country sponsor bands and solo duo artists to come in and compete. Now, I've often judged this contest, sometimes the finals or the semifinals. And in 2012, I heard this young man who made the finals, Sellen Birchwood, and I was wildly impressed by the maturity of his music and the attitude that he came with. Plus, I loved the combination of regular guitar, bass, drums, plus the baritone sax. And Sellen was doing all original material and singing in that really grown-up voice, and I think he was 28 at the time. So I sought him out after the event. He didn't win. He made the finals, but he didn't win. And we began corresponding. He began sending me songs, and I discovered he was a hell of a songwriter. And then in 2013, he came back and very deservedly won the International Blues Challenge, beating 150 other bands from all over the country. And by that time, we were already seriously planning records. So I felt just blessed to find him in the International Blues Challenge. Now, the same time that I saw Selwyn there, I went to see some of the bands in the clubs. And at B.B. King's on Beale Street, I saw a young man from Clinton, Mississippi, which is just outside of Jackson, who had a very odd name, and I was just amazed at the confidence with which he worked the stage. He was doing all original material, just like Selwyn had done, and he just had this attitude of, yeah, I'm here and I know what I'm doing, and you know, these are my original songs and I'm going to do them the way I know how to do them, and you're going to listen, damn it. And I did listen. And I thought, this guy has got something special. But much to my amazement, he did not even make the finals. But I was impressed enough, so I flew down to Jackson, Mississippi to see him at a club. And then I brought him to Chicago and I worked with him on some songs. Then I brought him to Memphis and we had a demo session. And then I thought, this talent is just undeniable. So, how's my timing here? Already? So, I was lucky enough to find another artist at the International Blues Challenge who I've welcomed into the Alligator family, who's done his debut album, which is Refuse to Lose, which is his motto, and a wonderful song. And I just am so proud to welcome to the stage Alligator recording artist from Clinton, Mississippi, Jerika Singleton and the Jerika Singleton Band. Thank you.
Come on. Thank you. Sterling on bass.
Sure that you know who's up here with me, because these guys, they work really hard, and I appreciate them so very much. So y'all, if y'all could help me, give these guys a round of applause as you walk in. My first cousin, Mr. Ben Sterling on bass, this year is again. We have the lady, Miss Maya Cowles on drums, this year is again. We got my main man, Mr. Sam Brady on keys. Let's hear it for Sam. I'm Tariqus. We are the Tariqus Singleton Band. Thank y'all so much for being receptive to us and our music. I'm from Kent, Mississippi. Have y'all ever been to Mississippi? Okay, there's a couple of y'all out there. You know, shame on y'all. But thank y'all so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Tariqus Singleton, Sam Brady, Kyle, Ben Sterling. It's not your grandpa's blues. But this is his vision. This is all their visions. You know, they're bringing this music into the future.
It's awesome!
I cannot agree more. You know, blues has been done so marvelously in the past. People send demos to me all the time, and I get Muddy Waters songs and Robert Johnson songs and B.B. King songs, and I think, how are you going to do those those songs better than the masters already did them. Those guys weren't trying to repeat what was already done. They were trying to push their music into the future. And these young artists are doing just the same thing, which is why it's such a great forum to have them on out here. In 1984, I think it was 84, my co-producer Frank Dick Sherman and I brought a project into the studio. Albert Collins, the master of the Telecaster, was signed to Alligator at that time, and we'd done a few albums, and you know, Albert and I had become very close friends, and we had the idea that we should get Albert together with some of his very close friends and do a special kind of super session. So we invited the Texas Twister, Johnny Clyde Copeland, to come up to Chicago, as well as a young man who was almost unknown at the time, but who had been inspired to become a blues artist by seeing Albert Collins play at his high school dance. And his name was Robert Cray. He had two albums out on Little Label, and was pretty much an unknown guy. Johnny Copeland had a pretty good buzz going on. Johnny had started as a vocalist before he played guitar, and his first vocal gig was sitting in with Albert Collins in little clubs in Third Ward in Houston in the early 1950s. So Johnny and Albert were really close friends. Robert considered himself to be Albert's protege, and we put these guys together and made a record called Showdown, which has stood the test of time and won a Grammy for all of them, much deserved. As a result of that, I got to know Johnny pretty well. I went to see him at Memphis in May a few years later. And Johnny had a heart condition and he wasn't able to do long shows. So his opening act was his 15-year-old daughter, who was that big and had a voice about... When she was 17, I was in New York and I went to a club that was recommended, you know, go see this gal. And I walked in and boy, she was 17 and she looked 17 and she sang like she had lived life to the fullest. That music came from so deep in her soul. You know, the word I like to use about these artists and the way I choose artists is I say they are undeniable. And her talent and her soulfulness were just undeniable. I signed her to Alligator Records when she just turned 18 and released her first album called Turn the Heat Up while she was still 18. We released four albums on Alligator, I'm proud to say, I co-produced two of them, was inspired in the studio by her talent. She has blossomed into being easily the greatest female voice of the blues of her generation. And as she said, it's undeniable. So you know, I'm thrilled to have been the bridge that helped bring her to the public. She left Alligator took a little vacation with another label. You know, kids grow up, they want to get out of the nest. And then after a while, they learn to appreciate, you know, the people who nurtured them and raised them. So she recently came back to the label and has a brand new record called Outskirts of Love, where she's touching on not only the blues, but some music that you might call Americana, some singer-songwriter things, some pretty deep ballads. And as soon as Arthur returns, little coaching session here. We'll actually get going and I can stop talking, which will be a great, great relief. So, but I'm running out of story. Say what? Okay, I'm going to tell another story that has nothing to do with Shane Gopin. This is one of my favorite stories. So in 1974, I went to the 1815 Club on the west side of Chicago, and I saw Howlin' Wolf, who I knew a little bit personally. He had a number of heart attacks by then, and he was sitting in a chair, kind of singing and looking lackadaisical, and occasionally dropping a part was probably a nitroglycerin pill. It was a pretty low-key set. And then down the aisle toward the ladies' room came a lovely young woman. And to get to the ladies' room, you had to walk right in front of the bandstand. And suddenly, you know, the old man was looking up. And the next thing I knew, as she walked past, he jumped out of his chair and he was stalking her. And it was the wolf. I love knowing that inside that sick old man was the great Howling Wolf. So that's a story that has nothing whatsoever to do with Shanika Copeland, but I love to tell him. It filled up the time. So now, if we're ready, we are ready. Arthur, are we ready? We are ready. Okay. The female blues voice of her generation, the wonderful, fantastic, and charismatic Miss Shanika Copeland.
Thank you. great Johnny Clyde Copeland. And, And every record I do, I like to do one of my daddy's songs. And on the latest record, Outskirts of Love, we did this one, and the song is called Devil's Hand. And we just kind of put a little twist on it. Everybody's heard this before. This is a thing to make the music.
We'll be right back.
No, Fender, voice too. Sorry. You know, the blues has been my life and my livelihood for 45 years, and I sure don't get tired of it. It was one of the reasons I love being here with you guys is because I know you feel the same way. Yeah. Never too much of this stuff. Always room for more. Hey, we're going to actually put together something even a little more special than what I anticipated. And by the way, you have not seen the last of Shanika tonight. So there's more to come. But we've got kind of a improvisational special event that they're getting together here. And now I've got to see if I can figure out some other story to tell you guys. About some musician or other. By the way, have you noticed that Selwyn is a shoeless, barefoot blues musician? No matter how cold it is, when I first went to see him in Florida, he played a club gig in Sarasota, and he was shoeless, and then for the finale, he got up and he walked the bar, stepping over everybody's drinks, not getting his feet in anybody's drinks, playing the whole way while Reggie, the sax player, was out in the crowd trading licks with him. I was amazed. And he didn't get those bare feet into anybody's glass.
Yeah, baby.
So Alligator Records started for the same reason that you're here, because I was a fan. I came to Chicago in 1970 to hang out on the blues scene for what I thought was going to be a year before I finished college. I still haven't finished college. I got a job at a wonderful record label called Delmark Records, which did the first albums by people like Junior Wells and Magic Sam. Fabulous record label that has never gotten all the credit it deserves. And I went to work as a shipping clerk. And every night I was in the clubs in the south side and the west side of the black neighborhoods. There weren't any clubs in the white neighborhoods. And one Sunday afternoon, I went into a bar on the south side, a little neighborhood bar called Florence's Lounge, 54th and Shields. They had a Sunday afternoon jam. It was the only time they had music. And I saw a band called Hound Dog Taylor and the House Rockers. And it was absolutely the happiest, most joyful music I have ever heard. You know, in Chicago, they say you listen to the blues to get rid of the blues. And that's exactly what that band did. I can't dance, and I could dance to Hound Dog Taylor. I fell in love with the band, and I started a record label to record my favorite band. And 45 years later, I run a record label to record my favorite bands.
Yay, baby!
And it has been beyond my wildest dreams of rewarding. Not so much in the wallet department, but in the spirit department.
Yay!
We've released almost 300 albums. I've had the pleasure of producing or co-producing about 130 of them. There's nothing I love more than working with artists in the studio and helping the creative process. This might give you a hint of a little of the extra special stuff that's going on. So this label has been started. I started in a one-room apartment. My warehouse was a walk-in closet. And I was always really happy with the elevator in the building work, because otherwise I had to haul LPs up four flights of stairs. And eventually, when the label really blossomed, it moved into a two-room apartment. And after only 5 years, I was able to hire an employee. And after 10 years, I stopped packing the boxes myself. These days, Alligator's in a little building on the north side of Chicago with 15 terrific people who work for us. And a roster of artists that includes people like Marsha Ball and Tommy Castro, Roomful of Blues, brand new artist named Toronto Cannon. Are we ready? We are ready. Okay, this is going to be much better than listening to me talk. We are going to have some guitar fireworks. Selwyn Birchwood, Jerika Singleton, and our special guest, Mr. Robert Randolph. What more can I say? Have a good time, guys. Yeah.
up here, throw it on the stage, and we're doing some jamming. I hope that's okay with you, baby.
La 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 la